Welcome back. We're into hour number three. So I've got some somewhat unfortunate news, and I've got some awesome news. Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. The somewhat unfortunate news is that PGA Tour golfer Max Homa has to reschedule. It's kind of a timing snafu. That's the somewhat unfortunate news. The absolutely awesome news is that I have my top of the hour guest in place. We are joined right now by an NBA champion, a nine-time NBA All-Star, a nine-time all-defensive first-team player, a two-time Olympic gold medalist, an All-American at Oregon State, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. He is now a head coach. He was named head coach at Lincoln University last week. We are joined by Gary Payton. Gary, it's so good to have you on. What's up, man? How are you?
How you doing, Jim? How you been?
Dude, good, good. How you been?
You know, I've been great. You know, I've been blessed. You know, a lot of things have been going on in my life, so, you know, it's okay.
I love that. I love hearing that. Gary Payton, my guest. Now, one of those things that's going on in your life, it was announced that you had accepted the job as the head basketball coach at Lincoln University in Oakland. How did this come to be, Gary, and how fired up are you by that opportunity?
Well, Jim, it was a call out of the blue, you know, about a couple of months ago, and the athletic director had called me from Lincoln University, and he was like, he was thinking about it, and he wanted, you know, I was the only person that he wanted to call. It was in Oakland, California. They were starting up a program there, and it intrigued me because it's in Oakland, California. It's a starter-up job. It's something that, you know, I would love to do to get these kids, the ones that's getting overlooked and not really, you know, looked at by major schools, to come in and have an opportunity to play for me and somebody who wants to get them to play defense, wants to get them to work on their craft and get them to a further place. You know, I don't, you know, our school is a starter-up school, and we're not in the NCAA at this point to start off to get to the tournament. But I'm giving them life experience. I'm giving them some education. I'm giving them an opportunity to play for great coaches and especially myself and get a knowledge of it and then have experience. And I think these kids are understanding that, and they're excited to play for me.
We're talking to Gary Payton. There's so much good stuff in that response. I love that answer, and I'll tell you why. Number one, as you point out, you have a chance to build something from scratch, so I know that's got to appeal to you. And then you mentioned Oakland. Like, how much, Gary, of this job appeals to you and the fact that it's in your hometown of Oakland? How much does that part mean to you?
That was almost about 90% of it. You know, Oakland has been losing a lot of their professional teams. They lost Golden State to go to San Francisco. They lost the Raiders to go to Las Vegas. The Oakland A's were talking about leaving if we don't give them a stadium. Our fans, and our people in our city, you know, we only like 500 to 600 people. We need some excitement back into our city. And I think me taking this job and giving the people hope and seeing basketball coming back to the Oakland Coliseum or things like that and getting some motivation back to our people, I think this is doing it. And it has put a big buzz out there. And that's all I want to do. I want our city to get back on the map for the right things, basketball. Me and Jason Kidd, Antonio Davis, Brian Shaw, Damian Lillard. You know, we got to have somebody, something to come back to Oakland, California and get a buzz. And I think this is going to do it, especially seeing players come out of there and then have an opportunity to have some of the players from Oakland, California get a chance to play for me and prove that we do still have great basketball players coming out of Oakland.
Damn, you beat me to it, man. I couldn't wait to ask you about that. Gary Payton, my guest. He's now the head coach at Lincoln University. I was going to say, Gary, that you and I have talked about this, and it's long been a topic on this show. The quality of players from Oakland. We're talking about you, Bill Russell, Jason Kidd, Damian Lillard, Antonio Davis, my dude, Brian Shaw. I could keep going. I know you're going to try to recruit nationally, but how important is it to lock down that talent and keep it at home?
Jim, it's very important for me to lock down my Oakland, especially from being from Oakland. And that is a major thing for me. I'm keeping the program right in Oakland, California. We're going to practice there. We're going to do it. We're not doing nothing outside of Oakland. We're trying to get every recruit that's coming to Oakland. We have some kids out of Bishop O'Dowd. We have some kids out of McClimates. We have some kids out of Skyline. All of these schools that these kids are in, I'm going to try to keep them home. You know, I want to keep them home, and I'm going to put a great schedule together so that they can understand that, yeah, we still can be right here in Oakland, stay at home, play in front of our family, play in front of my home people, and then get an opportunity to better my life as either going to the NBA or doing something else in their life. And that's what I'm going to teach them and let them understand. And that's what I want. I don't want nothing leaving out of my cracks of Oakland. If I got a good player out there, I'm guaranteeing you I'm going to go so hard to get him so that he can stay in his hometown and play in front of his family and his friends and do the things that he has to do.
Dude, I'm from L.A. and I'm fired up. I'm a Southern California native. I'm fired up hearing this. And Gary, when you played, you had that all-around game. You had a great all-around game, but you were the guy that made defense cool for an entire generation of players, and even today, that was one of the first things that you brought up. So how would you describe the style of play that you want to see at Lincoln?
Well, you know what? Jim, I'm coming from a Oregon State where I played for Ralph Miller, who wanted to play defense and wanted to play hard and wanted to leave everything out on the floor. Then I went and started playing for George Karl, and he was a guy that did the same thing with Coach Tim Gergerich. We started trapping. We started having things fun. We started making havoc, and that's what I'm going to have my program do, the same thing. We're going to cause havoc. We're going to play defense, and we're going to do it because if we're struggling on our offense and all of a sudden we're playing defense and making the other team struggle, we have an opportunity to stay in the ball game. My people might not like it because it's a different generation of threes. The three ball is the thing right now. Yeah, we could probably shoot the three ball too, but we're going to play defense because if we stop somebody, think about that. We get a three, we stop them and come back and hit another three. We have six now. So we're going to do things, and we're going to make it hard for teams to play because I don't want them to play easy. I want them to understand that every time you step on the floor against a Gary Payton team, you're going to find a lot of havoc, and we're going to make it very difficult for you to play.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a head coach now, Gary Payton, joining us. Gary, I've talked to you about this, but if you can indulge me really quickly, I want to respond to some of the names you just mentioned. You talked about George Karl, one of my all-time favorite guys to talk to. You mentioned Tim Gergerich. Although I haven't interviewed Gerg because I came out of the Big West at UC Santa Barbara, when he was at UNLV, I saw that amoeba defense, man. It was nasty. It was really aggressive. But Ralph Miller is the one I want to ask you about, because when I got started in this business, Gary, as a young smack-talking pup, he was one of the first guys that I interviewed, one of the first big interviews I got. Now, I know you're fearless. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was scared to death. I wanted to make sure I knew that I had my P's and Q's right before I talked to him. What was he like to play for?
Well, you know what, Jim? He was a hardcore guy. But, you know, I got recruited by Jimmy Anderson, who is like a father to me. And when he brought me into the program and I met Coach Miller. Coach Miller wasn't going out on recruiting trips. He only would recruit the guys that he knew that was really good. And he had a chance to come into my home, and he didn't think that they had a chance to get me, but they did. And when he came in, he was first thing he said is, "Look here, I don't come to many homes. If you want to come to my program, I'll make you a better basketball player." And that's basically what he said. And then all of a sudden, when I got there, he was so strict that I knew that I had to bow down. And when I bowed down and showed him my athletic ability, me and him became close, really, really close. You were scared of him because he wore dark glasses, smoked long more cigarettes, had a lot of coffee on the side all the time, and sat there. And when he always said, "Hey," everybody would stop and look. You know, and because we were scared of what he would want, what he would do, you know what I'm saying? Because he was a no-nonsense coach. He didn't take all of the extra stuff. He'd tell you as soon as you get out of my program, I'll send you home. So we understood that. And for me to grow up like that, and especially with my father, where they were same people, so I already had a discipline, and that discipline was to go to work, do what you have to do, and then you won't get that meanness from a coach. And that's what I want my players to understand. I'm going to be strict. But if you do what you have to do, I'll let you do what you need to do.
Gary Payton, what a great line. If you do what you have to do, I will let you do what you want to do or need to do. That tremendous. And now you mentioned your father. I want to talk to you for a minute about being a father, but I do want to ask you this, Gary, that for those who do not know, the glove nickname, which is one of the all-time great nicknames, comes from when you were playing Phoenix and decided that you were going to lock up and shut down Kevin Johnson. What made you decide that you were going to lock him down? And then what did your cousin Glenn say after that game?
Well, you know what? I just had to make a statement during that time, Jim, because that was it was 2 years that I didn't do well with the Supersonics, and they were talking about trading me. This is when George Karl had just came in. He just came in, and we changed our whole organization around. We got to the Western Conference Finals, playing against Kevin and Charles Barkley, and Kevin was a premier point guard. And I knew it. I had to play against Tim Hardaway, John Stockton, Kevin. And Kevin was having a tremendous year. And I just thought, we got there. For us to win, I would have to do one thing, is shut down Kevin from averaging 26, 27. And I held him like 13 points, 14 points in that series. And I just said, I'm going to lock down. Forget about all the offense. That's going to come. Everything's going to come my way if I make create defensive plays. And that's what I did, and I just thought about it. And I was so tired after that game, and my cousin called me, Glenn, and he was like, Glove. And I hung up the phone. I was like, man, ain't no Glove here. So he called back. He said, cuz, you know, this is me, Glenn. I was like, man, why you call me Glove? He said, because you got Kevin Johnson like a baseball in a mitt so tight that he can't move. And he said him and his frat guys were sitting there, and they made that up. And I said, that sounds really good. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I started doing things. And he said, you the Glove, for real. And then we went from there and started promoting it. And then all of a sudden it took off, and the NBA took off with it. And it became one of the great names.
Man, it's such a great name. Such a great name. You know, so I'm picking my spots, Gary. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I have an observation and a question for you. You mentioned some of these other great point guards, and you mentioned Tim Hardaway. Again, when I was early in my career, man, point guards are just a different breed of cat. They just are, man. The job is different. They're different. I remember the first time I met Tim Hardaway. He walked in the studio, and dude, he had like this crazy it, man, this crazy aura. Like, he had this vibe. I'm like, damn, this might be the coolest dude like I've ever met. I'd never seen, and again, I'm early in my career, but he just had that vibe coming off him. I'm curious, like, what was he to go up against? And then if I were to say to you, who was your toughest cover in your career, who would it be?
Well, we'll start with Tim. Me and Tim didn't really click at the first beginning of
right.
our career, you know?
Right.
Because... You know, I was getting recruited at El Paso, and I was going to go. We was thinking about going there, and then he was there, and then I said, no, the Chicago kid, you know, I don't want to go. I don't want to sit behind him for a year. I want to go somewhere else. So when we got in the pros, he played for Golden State, and then that was my home city, you know, in Oakland. So we didn't click. We didn't click at all. You know, he was the rare, cocky one, and I loved it because he acted just like me from Chicago. And when he did that, I wanted to compete against him. That's all I wanted to do, was compete against him. And we clashed for a long period of time in the pros. And then all of a sudden, like now, he's the first one of the first guys who hit me to congratulate me on my job.
Cool.
And we're best friends right now, you know. And I saved a text from him because me and him are like that, you know what I'm saying? And we're more like family now. And it's great. And, you know, it's just great to grow up and have that type of vibe and across somebody, and then all of a sudden we become real, real close and tight. And that's a good thing for me. And as in the toughest guard, everybody knows John Stockton was a nightmare for me. He was a real nightmare. He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't talk back to nobody. You couldn't get in his head. He was a guy who only played like 33 to 34 minutes. You know, Jerry Sloan had him on a time clock. But when he went in there, he was so efficient that he would only play for 34 minutes. He would shoot the ball 10 times, probably make 7 or 8. He would shoot free throws. He would probably shoot 8, make about 6 or 7. Then all of a sudden, you look at it, he has 16 assists. He has 6 rebounds. And then all of a sudden, he has 4 and 5 steals. And you look up on the number board, we down 20 or 30, and he has 26, 16, 6 and 5. And I have to guard him 94 feet all the time, and it's just crazy. And we just didn't think. We thought he was dirty, but we were stupid. because we looked at film about him. We knew what he was going to do and what he was going to pick, but we tried to out-talent him, and he did the outsmarting us. And that's why he was so good. And that's why it was a nightmare for me to guard him all the time.
And what a great answer, dude. What a great answer that was. And I was going to say, with no disrespect intended, and you beat me to it, Gary, I was going to say, yeah, but. I mean, this dude was so efficient and so smart and so tough, but I was going to throw the caveat, but was he dirty? And you got there first and said, no, man, he was just smart. He was smart. Yeah. Gary Payton, my guest, I want to ask you before you go. I mentioned family and you being a father. Your son, Gary Payton II, listen, can't be easy to be the son of a Hall of Famer. Can't be easy to be the son of a Hall of Famer with the same name. But he was named to the G League All-Defensive Team. He signed with the Warriors. And you made the point earlier this year, he plays so old school right now, a lot of teams don't really value his worth. End of quote. I want you to lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
He don't value his worth because nowadays, you see, Jim, they all are on three-point shooting. Most people are now, and teams and coaches, they evaluate you on if you can knock down a shot or a three-pointer or what you can do. But you have so many people on your team that are basically scorers. Okay, now only person that's valuing somebody's worth is a Tucker. You know, a Tucker like in Milwaukee now. He doesn't really do a lot of things, but he basically, you know, does everything. He gets you rebounds. He guards the toughest guys. He'll get you a big steal. You know, he'll hit a big three at the right time. He's a good teammate. And that's why the Golden State Warriors, I think, really are now on my son, because they are going to value that, because they see the same thing in my son that they see in Draymond Green. Draymond Green doesn't score a lot of points. He does everything else for the Golden State Warriors to make them better and make people around him better. And I think my son is that same type of basketball player. And they just people just don't value that now. They really don't. And for Draymond Green, which I'm giving kudos to step up for my son and go to the Warriors and say, man, we got to keep this guy if we're going to be trying to get ourselves back to where we were next year when Klay and them comes back and things like that. And he stepped up, and he has never done that for anybody I've heard, for nobody on any team he's been on. He's never stepped up for a guy, and he did it for my son, because I think he knows my son plays the same way he does, and if he be on the floor with him, they'll value each other. You know, I went to one game for them, and Draymond was looking for my son so much. In 2 minutes, my son scored 11 points because Draymond directed the floor, got him on cut, knew what he was doing, talking to my son afterwards and telling him what to do. And my son was playing like, yeah, I had somebody there with me who can evaluate me and we can play together. And they play really well together, and it looked really well. Hey,
Gary,
really good.
Gary, tell me I'm wrong, but like even with the career you had, even being in the Hall of Fame, I mean, when you see your son and what he's about and that grind and that grit and that work ethic and the way he plays the game, aren't you, I mean, maybe I'm out there, but aren't you more proud of what you see from him than almost anything you've ever done?
Absolutely. I see a lot. You know what, Jim, that's a great, 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 great question for me, because I do, because it came so easy to me because I was the number two pick. I was all American in college and doing that. For my son to grind, and people would say, we wish our sons would grow up like we did and do more, but it didn't happen. You know, they had the silver spoon and everything. And then all of a sudden to grind and get to the place where he reminds me of Patrick Beverley. How Patrick Beverley went through the things that he did and then finally got there. I think my son is going to do the same thing. And I'm so proud of him for not quitting and keeping with his game, working out, working and do the stuff that he needs to do. And now he's here. You know, it's a pleasure for me because now I'm going to be around him a lot because he's in Oakland. You know what I'm saying? He's in the San Francisco, and I can be around him a lot. We just hung out the other day and had a great day going to have lunch and do things like that and talk about stuff. And this is a big thing for me because I love my son because he doesn't quit and he grinds and he knows how tough it is to get to where it's at and get the hard work in.
I think it's awesome. I think it's really awesome. Gary, one last thought. I normally do not keep a guy this long, but you are so good, and I'm so glad to get caught up with you once again. I know you've got your plate full and you've got a lot going on with coaching Lincoln University, but there still is talk talk about the NBA possibly returning to Seattle. What would it mean to you to see the NBA back in Seattle?
That would mean a great deal to me, Jim. Everybody knows Seattle is like the second home to me. It is second home to me. And I've been trying to get Seattle back into the NBA. I've been talking up for it's coming close, Jim. I just know it, and we all know it. And once it gets back there and these Seattle fans can get back to less showing people in the world and in the NBA that the NBA is deserving there, and it's a great city to play. And I'm going to be more involved with it, very much involved with it, to get it to the place where it needs to get back to. And I know a lot of us who are alumni there is going to be involved with it, too. And I just can't wait. It's going to be a great moment. And then it's going to be a great moment for me to see Sean Kemp and Dennis Schrimp get their number retired, and I'm sitting there with them and watching their banner go up to the roof and seeing that with them. It's going to be a great moment for myself.
Gary, I was going to say, what about your number, though, man? I know you're about your guys, but, man, what would that mean to you to see that number go up in the rafters, your number?
It'll be great. That would probably be one the best moment ever in my life. I always say the Olympics was the best thing ever in my life to do and accomplish. And then the Hall of Fame came. But having my number retired in a place that made me all that accolade that I just mentioned, Seattle made me the person to go to the Hall of Fame, who made me to get to the Olympics. But to do that in front of the Seattle fans who represented me for 13 years and got me through all the All-Stars, got me through everything that I did, the first championship appearance that I had, to being an all-time leader in everything, almost everything in Seattle, it would be a great moment for them people who's been waiting for this for so long, and we're getting older and older, and we're going to keep waiting until it happens, and it's not going to happen but there. Will be a great thing for me.
My man, why won't you let me let you go? I'm trying to, but you keep saying really interesting things. Quick follow. You mentioned the Olympics being the biggest thing. So if you've had this amazing basketball life and you've accomplished literally everything there is in the sport, why was it the Olympic memory and experience that stands out maybe above all else?
Jim, we got to think about it. I just did a thing with the military. I had a Zoom call with a whole room full of military people who are trained to protect our country. We don't get that. These people go over to different countries to protect us, to serve, and they're getting bullets shot by their heads, their face. They're getting stuff blown off, coming back I just don't get it where their mind is messed up and everything, and we have to help them. But we're sitting over here playing basketball and have USA on our chest. We can bow our head down and get a medal and doesn't have to worry about none of that. But they're protecting us so that they won't come over here to for anything to happen. These guys are our heroes, and I look up to them. And it's an honor for me to have USA on my chest and to go and play basketball and win. And they're over there looking at us play and excited about it, but they're in harm's way. And I think that is just something that I just can't overlook and think about. I am grateful to be honoring my country and don't have to worry about anybody trying to shoot me or do anything else to me and just play basketball and win a medal. And they're over there and they need medals themselves. More important than our medals. And then that's a big thing to me to represent that.
NBA champion, 9-time NBA All-Star, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, and now the head basketball coach at Lincoln University, Gary Payton, my guest. Dude, it goes without saying, Gary, you are the absolute best. I really appreciate you spending so much time with us today. Congrats on that gig. I am locked in. I will be following that program so closely, and it's great to have you back, Gary. I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Anytime, man. Anytime you want me on, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. And, you know, anytime you're welcome. You're welcome to come and see us play. I'm going to give you a show on, man, because I'm going to have some good ones there.
My man, I know it. I will take you up on that. Much respect. Gary Payton. God, that was so great. I knew it. It is always so good to chop it up with him. Gary Payton is one of those guys where I try to pick my spots so carefully. Like, I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that conversation, because that conversation is so amazing every time. So I'll look for the glove maybe, you know, annually, once a year, just get caught up. And so when I saw that he got that job at Lincoln and that he was as fired up as he was, I'm like, that's it. That's our time. We got to get him back. And that was so fun. What an awesome, awesome interview. All right, so your thoughts. We ran really fat, really heavy, but I can float it out for a legend like that. Just know next segment's going to be short. Wall Street has been lying for years, saying that 7% is a good return on our stocks. Fact is, it's just not. They'll also try to have you believe that trading is so complex that you have to get yourself a financial advisor. Also not true, because real people are making real money, 30, 50, even 100% a year on their money trading stocks, even when the market's tough. It's all because of Carnivore Trading. Carnivore Trading is an anonymous team of elite Wall Street strategists. They're legends among Wall Street heavy hitters, and now they've gone a bit rogue. What they're doing is they're allowing everyday folks like you, like me, to mirror their explosive trades. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, find out for yourself. Carnivore will let you see the trades they're making right now for free. Go to getourtrades.com. Use the promo code ROME. Do that and you'll get 2 weeks for free. Try it out. I did that myself. If you join Carnivore, they guarantee they'll get you 5 times your subscription fee or they will double your money back. So why would you not take a shot? Go to getourtrades.com, promo code ROME. Getourtrades.com, promo code ROME. See website for guarantee terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm going to tell you why I love that interview with Gary Payton. Well, for every reason, for everything he said. I just love the guy. I love the interview. I love the relationship we have with him and the show. But, you know, that's not a guy who, like, is taking on a job because, you know what? There's a paycheck. Got nothing better to do. Man, that is so deeply personal. He's in that for all the right reasons. Love that. At East Bay, Troy tweets, I'm going to the Gloves' first home game. Wore the East Bay. Rome, good interview with Gary the Glove. Love 90s basketball player interviews. The last era of playing without a foul being called, even if you touch a player's jersey. JP in Riverside. At Portland Woman tweets, I just love Gary Payton. He is one of Oregon's favorite people. Hashtag go Beavs. He's one of America's favorite people, man. Oakland loves him. Pacific Northwest loves him. Hell, man, he was a Laker. West Coast loves him. I know the jungle loves him. All right, so it's going to be a short segment because that one ran long. What I want to do is make sure that I get back on the clock.
The clock.
Jeff in Richmond is still getting a lot of reaction. A lot of reaction. So I want to get to that. Mark in Hollywood getting reaction. It is smack-off season. Big day today, too, overall, because I'm scheduled to have a conversation with Nate Diaz in about 45 minutes. Old man Ritz said he just confirmed. Fired up. Can't wait to talk to Nate. That's going to be our podcast. That's pushing out a day late because of, well, Nate's world. So, look for that a little bit later on. Quick timeout, and then one last segment. I've got lots of time for reaction. Social reaction, phone call reaction. Keep coming, man. Keep coming. It's a good day today. Let's get you a sports update. Here is the very latest on this Thursday. Here is Rich Ackerman. Smack-off season is the best season. Every line's lit. Social is popping. What a blast. You're running out of time. 15 days, 11 shows until Smack-Off 27. Let's go to the phones. We go to South Carolina. Barbara. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
How are you?
Good. How are you, Barbara?
I'm great, thank you.
The reason I called in is I was channel surfing, and for some reason you had Cameron Kinley on, and he just caught my attention. And I just wanted to say that that young man is incredible. His story is so amazing, and the way he's handled it is unbelievable. And I am going to pray for him that whatever is going to change, what's going on in his life, so he gets his dream come true, will happen. He deserves it.
What a great phone call from you, Barbara. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's so great that Barbara was just channel surfing and happened to stop on Cameron Kinley and was so moved by him and that story that she's going to pray for him that his dreams all come true. I agree with you. He is a really unique young man, a really rare young person. And I'm so glad you found the show. You never know who's going to find you or who's listening. That's a great phone call right there. Barbara in South Carolina. All right, let's keep moving. How about back-to-back lady clones? Let's go this time to Grand Rapids. Christina. It's good to have you, Christina. How are you?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Great.
Great. So I asked myself, can I make the show better? Well, does Mike and Indy have room on that mantle for another second-place Smack-Off trophy? I believe so. Mike, I've never, ever seen a guy so proud of a number two finish since I've seen Rex leaving that Burger King bathroom in Albuquerque. Rex. You're into excrement? Is that because you had a traumatic experience with Dookie? Did you have a few accidents on the school slide? I don't know, Rex, but you sound constipated, and I'm not sure why I've got to be the one to tell you what everyone in the jungle thinks about your poo jokes. Rex, they stink. The only throne you'll reign is the porcelain one. Hawk. Mr. Skull Screener guy, do you have a bird's name because you're so high all the time? I hear you like cats and tattoos. What is it with you? Oh, I got it. You are such a trendsetter. So unique and oh so ironic. Hawk, I bet you're afraid to swim because it's too mainstream. Stay cool, Hawk. And no, I don't want to check out your single-speed bicycle, you dweeb.
Racker? Christina! Stay Racker. Cool, Hawk. You dweeb. I know why you don't want to curse, because it's so mainstream. That was incredible. Back-to-back lady clones. Somebody who just happened to be channel surfing and found a great interview. And then Christina just going in on Mike and Hawk. Let's keep banging telephone calls. We go this time to Richmond. Jerome from Richmond. Hey, Jerome, how are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for the vine. Appreciate the time. Mr. Tan Smack. That's like the funniest thing ever, that whole Tan Smack deal. I love it. Anyway, I just want to let you know that Garrett Cole, he just ripped from Miss South Carolina the worst answer in history. And Miss South Carolina is not happy. So, Garrett Cole, I got one message. Life and karma is a bitch. Bitch. Also, this Marvin the Martian dude in from Texas, this is Marvin the Martian in Texas. Well, I would be upset because you didn't say what town you're from, but I know exactly where you're from. You come right out of Roswell, New Mexico, got on a bender, escaped somehow, got on a bender, and stumbled across the Texas border. Hey, dipwad, no one's going to find you in West Texas, dude. The only hope you have is a stray UFO maybe spotting your dumb ass out there, or you just phone home, E.T. Hey, we got this border with Mexico. Why don't we put up a border with New Mexico? Keep these freaks out. Keep them home, Roswell. And finally, Jim, did I hear you say no drinking or smoking? Jim, I've been listening 25 years. And I can't believe my ears. I can't believe it. I'm finally out. I can't listen no more. If you're going that route, I'm done. I'm out.
Good night now.
All right, so that was Jerome from Houston, not Richmond. I just went with what was said on the call screen. Jerome, listen, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that you can't drink or smoke. I didn't say that, Jerome, because I know you do a lot of both. I know you live that life. I said if you want to submit a prediction video, do not drink or smoke or sex or curse or any of those things on the video. What you do in your spare time, Jerome, is of no interest to me. And you can do whatever the hell you want. I'm not saying you can't drink. I drink. Weekends only, but I drink. I'm not saying you can't smoke. I don't smoke. Occasional cigar a few times a year. Dude, I said if you want your prediction video for the Smack Off on national TV, these are the things that you do not want to do. But that was kind of a lame and funny Jeff in Richmond imitation. Hey, Jeff's not doing that. Jeff knows. Dude, he knows where the line is. He knows how the game is played. He's won. He's still relevant 20 years later. Let's go to the reaction. Let's see. Wells in the 360. Christina coming out of nowhere off the top rope. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Bittersweet Maria's in. Christina. She was amazing. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Well done, Christina. Look at you. Hi, Jim. After Knights GM Kelly McCrimmon appeared on the show this week, the Vegas Golden Knights have not lost. Can we hear the hockey tugboat horn to bring some jungle karma for tonight's huge game? Bella B, Calgary. Alvin, that happened while you were gone. By the way, Alvin, a lot of crap happened while you were gone. In fact, Alvin, the second you were 1 foot out the door, all the crap hit the fan, including Ritz derivative of the hockey horn, which was a tugboat horn. And his explanation was, it says hockey horn. Romy, I'm going to read this as it's written. Romy, who wants to walk with Jeff in Richmond from the couch to the refrigerator without having to take a knee and gasp for air? Regards, Ashley in Nebraska. Way to be, Ash. Stay strong, Ash. She's funny. Rome, oh man. Jeff in Richmond. First of all, it's not Jeff in Richmond. It's Jeff from Richmond. Jeff in Richmond has lost nothing on that fastball. I don't even care that he's making the same call over and over. I could listen to 3 hours of that. War the proliferation of skanks. James in Rockland.
The real threat in the United States of America is not global warming. It's not skyrocketing oil and gas prices. It's not illegal immigration, Jim. It's the proliferation of skanks across the fruited plain. Think about it, Jim. Pamela Ander Skank, Brittany Skank, 16-year-old Jamie Lynn Skank, Lindsay Lowe Skank, Jessica Sim Skank, and the worst of all, Jim, Paris Hill Skank, Jim, because after all, you can't say Hotel Heiress without using the word ho.
What year was that? Or was that last week? Amazing phone call. In 2008. That's the fact that he's built like a hot air balloon. But Jeff in Richmond makes me laugh. War flagpole smack. His whole point that in order to have a flagpole on your property, you have to have a substantial piece of real estate. Brett and Bughaw sent that. Jimmy, I think that Jordan Love dominating in a controlled environment against no competition will absolutely translate to success in real games. Mark it down. Swishingly yours, Garrett Ritt, nailing jumpers in the driveway. Chris in Milwaukee. This dude's nailing jumpers, not even jumpers, but little baby hooks, and calling out NBA players. He called out Paul Pierce, but then again, he did outlast Paul Pierce. Back to it. Let's go to L.A. It is Matt in L.A. What's up, Matt?
Romy, hey, real quick, I wanted to remind Swells in the Double Stuff 3-6 Oreos how you play your way in. Well, I can appreciate that tub of goo putting down his fork long enough to make those weak sauce calls yesterday. I want to remind him that Seattle swine, you play to win the game, Wells, and that buffet table banner that you run doesn't qualify a smack. So stick to the iPhone reps, you Twitter toughy, and butter-battered heaviest player in the game. Listen up, you chump. If you want some of Matt in L.A., come down to where the real money is, the West Coast, you chump. You're still rocking some 30-year-old Mercedes-Benz acting like you're balling. Stop. But that's not why I called, Jim. I called because it's smack-off season, so the field is officially put on notice. From Nazli and Corona to Shawnee and Hilda Glazed Ham to C-plus in NoCal. You pukes better be ready because the plumber's coming back into the jungle to ream all your candy asses a new one. And I'm going to tell you like I told BJ in the base bay. Pay me. That's all I got, Jimmy. Outro.
Here's the thing, Matt. That's not all you got. You also got a golden ticket.
I got a golden ticket.
Hell yes.
I got a golden ticket.
Hey, audience, tell me how my ass tastes. I just gave him a golden ticket. And why wouldn't I? That was the best call he ever made.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
My man, it's not how many no's, it's how many yeses. And all you need is one big yes. And you just got it, Matt. You're in, Matt. There's your golden ticket. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions. Yeah, I did it. For every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches, call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Look for EP 177 of the Jim Rome podcast with Nate Diaz.